So welcome. This is Chris, and you're listening to The Chris Gilbertson Show, where we focus on the secrets of the extraordinarily successful. And through expert and millionaire interviews, we share key insights to help you explode your business and your lifestyle. And today, my guest today is Tripp Lanier, who is a men's coach and host of the New Man podcast, Beyond the Macho Jerk and the New Age Wimp, which reaches listeners all over the world and is listed repeatedly in the top 10 self-help podcasts in iTunes. And Tripp has been featured in Enlighten Next, The Good Man Project, and has had tons of top experts and industry leaders on his internationally renowned show, such as Tim Ferriss, Dr. Robert Glover, Chip Conley, Sean Phillips, and dozens of other top key experts. And what Tripp is best known for is being a coach that has helped women and men all over the world break out of their mediocre lives, do what they love, and navigate the challenging world of relationships. So Tripp is a creative entrepreneur that brings an incredibly fresh humorous perspective on how to successfully maneuver through your life and living your passion and becoming the best at what you so desire to be. So I'm so excited. Welcome, Tripp, to the show. How are you doing today?
I'm doing great. Thank you so much for having me.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I would love I'd love for you just to share, for maybe the people that aren't familiar with you yet, your story of how you got into coaching and the niche that you're in.
Oh, it's a big one. So I started a media production company 5 months after I graduated from college. I just kind of fell right into it. And I did that for 12 years. I made other products for other people, and products being TV commercials, TV programs, material that would go on, DVDs and that kind of stuff to be distributed for direct marketing and that kind of thing. But I always wanted to have my own content. I always wanted to be, to have that voice. And I basically started that business to fund my lifestyle. So I wanted to travel, and I was a very, very serious musician. And so it funded my lifestyle to be a musician, which can be rather poor. But after a while, I started wanting more meaning in my work, and I wanted more meaning in my life. And through a lot of just fumbling around, and I went through some ups and downs in my own personal life, and just really opened up to the world of personal development. Like, what is this? What's possible in my life? What else is out there beyond just making more money and dating and that kind of stuff? And granted, I was in my late 20s at this time, and so I was getting more and more into personal development. I got involved with the Integral Institute with Ken Wilber out in Boulder, Colorado, and started studying with guys like David Data and that kind of thing, and it just opened up a whole world for me. And I found that I had a gift, I had a natural thing for helping other guys, like helping other people basically go from their kind of typical scripted, hey, this is what you're supposed to do. You're supposed to get the good grades, and you're supposed to go to school, and then you're supposed to graduate, and then you're supposed to get the job, and then you're supposed to get married and have the kid. Like, you're supposed to, versus like, what do you really want? Like, if you knew you weren't going to fail and you had 5 years before you're going to die and money wasn't an issue, what do you really want to do with your life? And I loved that conversation. I loved being a part of that. I loved being a facilitator for that. I loved being a challenger in that place. Like, come on, let's do it. We don't know how much time we got left here. And so that was the start of becoming a coach. I didn't even know that you could do that and make a living at it, but I just loved having those types of conversations with folks. Mm-hmm. And so that gradually segued into becoming a coach.
Oh, that's outstanding. So, a lot of the men, you predominantly coach men, and more specifically, you categorize them, the guy who's feeling lost or stuck, he wants to quit settling and feel a satisfaction of knowing he's doing something to make the most of his life. So I'm curious, with that type of demographic, is there a common denominator that you find for your coaching clients that they're struggling with?
You know, it's interesting because the guy can describe a 22-year-old guy, or that can be, I've had conversations with guys that are in their 70s. That are having those kind of, that's in their thing. So it's not like, okay, he's 30 and he drives this car and he reads this magazine and that kind of, it's more of a intrinsic, what are the intrinsic values? What are the intrinsic motivations? And they're all across the board. But, I remember years ago I was at some business conference thing and I was talking to guys and I was really pretty nervous because to have this conversation with men, it usually ruffles feathers. They're like, oh, they usually, kind of scares them a bit. And, and I remember I was pushing myself at the time. I was like, I'm not going to hide. I'm going to let these people know what I actually do. And I remember telling him, like, look, I help guys get out of ruts. I help them, you know, get through personal stuff or business stuff. But basically I help them quit, you know, to confront their fears and go for what they really want. And I saw everybody kind of shift around. A few guys looked at the floor and that kind of stuff. And a few guys left. And you know, I was like, oh, this is so uncomfortable. But throughout the night, most of them individually came up to me and said, tell me a little bit more about what you do. And so there, I think it's basically guys think about this stuff. They just don't talk about it. And it's really uncomfortable to talk about because we don't want to admit that we're weak in some way, that we are confused or that we have doubts about ourselves. We've been taught from a very early age not to share that information, that we keep it to ourselves, and that somehow, by God, we're the only one who feels this way or thinks this way. So from my perspective and having so many people listening to the podcast and being in communication with them and having a full coaching practice, like, yeah, you're not the only one. There are lots of us. And, you know, once we get over that, we get over ourselves, then the whole world opens up. Okay, now what's possible? What do I really want to do?
Right. Oh, I love that. So, I mean, you talk a lot about being present in the new manual training program that you have. And I'm curious because I think that plays into a lot of getting real with what we want in life. And so what does that mean for you and how you coach people and why it's so hard to get present for most of us?
Well, it's funny you ask that because I actually had a challenge this morning where I wasn't very present. I work from home and my wife and daughter are traveling, and so I was just working in my skivvies, in my underwear, and I was typing, you know, doing my thing. I was like, oh, I had a letter I wanted to go mail. I was completely unpresent. I walked out to my mailbox in my underwear. So there you go. And, you know, of course, my neighbor across the street, he's scarred for life, or maybe he's confused sexually. You know, he's not quite sure. Who knows? But we'll talk about it later. But anyway, so, yeah, presence. If we're not here and we're not here if we're thinking about the future, if we're anxious about what may happen, or we're stuck in the past about what we think we should have done or could have done, then we're basically, you know, on the equivalent of being on the freeway at 80 miles an hour, and we're not at the wheel. We're not able to respond to the things that are happening right here and right now, and we're not able to see the opportunities. Hey, there's that exit that I want to take, or hey, there's the lane that I can get into to go faster. And so at just the very core of it, That's you know, that's the common sense version. But for me, presence goes a step further. Like, I don't trust people that aren't present with me. If I'm talking to someone and, you know, it's I can tell that the person's not really listening, or they're not paying attention, or they're a few questions ahead of me and they're not in the moment, it's frustrating. And I think for men and women in any relationship, they sense that person's really there and really listening. And if we don't know how to build trust, you know, it just comes back down to that start with presence. If you're wanting to build real trust and real relationships, which is going to be key to any relationship, business or personal, you got to get in the moment. You got to really be with who you're with in the moment. Does that make sense?
Absolutely. I think just to expand on a little bit more, though, because, I mean, just like you're talking about this morning, it's like most of our lives are run on autopilot. We're just kind of, you know, drumming through things. And even as entrepreneurs, when we're really passionate about something, we're either in the past or in the future worrying about what's going to happen with this or what about that. So how do you help your coaching clients and other entrepreneurs you work with to kind of bring them back to being present? Do you have, like, tricks, or what do you kind of coach on about that?
You know, a lot of times it's really hard to do by yourself. It's really hard to, you know, because then you have to wait till you, oh, wow, I wasn't present for the last day and a half, or I haven't been present for years, or I haven't been present in 5 minutes. So it's really hard to catch yourself. But
right.
Having a coach, that's one of the reasons why it's great to have a coach. They're like, where are you? I'm talking to you, and you're all over the place. Get your feet on the ground. Take a big, deep breath. Feel your ass in the seat and get back here right now. And to me, that's one of the reasons why I have coaches in my life, or, you know, I coach others, is just to have that outside, that third-party perspective.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, you talk a lot about, with your coaching clients, how it comes back to the body, like having better relationships, a better career, better sex, better everything. But you describe it in a really unique way. Can you share that and with how you've experienced that with your coaching clients?
Well, basically, the body is overlooked until we hit the wall. And I'm not some big, huge fitness freak. I am very active, and I take care of myself. But I know other guys in my world that are just kind of nuts about that stuff, and that's not me. But that said, the body's the vehicle for everything you want to do. So you break a leg or you get sick or whatever, you're on your back. And you can't live up to your potential. You can't do the things you really love. You can't love other people fully when you're out of it, when you're sick. And so basically, you can't overlook that aspect of our lives of like, well, how am I treating my body? A few years ago when I was ramping up the second phase of the business that I had and we were getting ready to have our daughter, and the first thing I thought was like, I've got to dial in my diet. I can't screw around. I need every bit of energy that I've got. I can't waste 10 or 15 or 20% feeling fatigued or distracted by what's going on with my body. Does that make sense?
Absolutely.
But I think in our culture, we overlook it. Like, we're just used to feeling like crap. I don't know. It's just
right. It's
just amazing.
Put a coffee on him. Yeah.
Yeah. We just kind of don't put the two and two together. But, you know, that vitality and what we're ultimately, it seems like whatever we're looking for in our life is to feel more alive and to feel more relaxed. And it's like, well, your body, those are feelings. They're in the body. They're part of the body. So what are you doing? Like, what are you shoveling into your face? Is it helping you feel more alive or more relaxed in the long term?
Right. Right. I was curious about that, too, just on the take of the psychology behind it, because if that's kind of what it boils down to, what's the mental process, though, that's holding people back, that they're only just concerned about that? That was my question for with your coaching clients.
Well, I would say it's deprivation. There's a sense of, like, what am I going to give up? Let's look at it this way. If I've created a life where there's nothing in my life that I really enjoy, and the only thing that gives me a sense of peace, a momentary peace and some kind of sense of relief is food, then you're really screwed. Like, I'm not going to give up my food. I'm not going to give that up. But if you, whether you work with a coach or whatever, you just start to implement other things in your day that are enjoyable, then food becomes less valuable for that hit, that kind of narcotic hit of feeling better in the moment. So you found other ways to find peace. You found other ways to feel more alive and to feel connected with yourself or whatever. So I think for the guy that has an abundance of ways to feel better and to feel relief in his day, then food's not that big a deal. Like, and for me, I just feel better when I eat better, you know, well, anyway, you got to get over a hump there. Are we getting to where you were going?
Yeah, no, I just like to hear different perspectives on it, because I think a lot of people are like, well, when I get this, then I'll do that. Or when I look like this, I'll be able to go do that. But really, it's the mental, it's kind of where they're at mentally. It's not about that. It's about moving forward and taking action, being present in the moment and moving forward that way. So, I think that's outstanding. So I'd love for you to share kind of, too, how you've been able to connect with your coaching clients or any of your clients, really, on the level of being helping them to break through. Like, what have you found that works really well with who you're working with?
And give me an example. Breakthrough to what? What would you like? Let's get a more specific.
Like, when someone says, okay, Trip, you know what? I'm not passionate. I don't know how to find my passion. I'm not really sure. Like, they're excited about life, but they don't know what their direction is. What do you do with that?
The first thing that we've got to do is just to recognize, most of the time when I talk to people, I say, why aren't you doing something you love? Why do you think you're stuck? A lot of times they've got whether they realize it or not, they're blaming it on something, or they're blaming it on someone. Oh, I'm married. You know, otherwise I'd be doing X, Y, Z, but, you know, I'm married, and I got kids, and I got this, you know, two dachshunds, and I can't do that, man. You know, so what's a guy to do? Or sometimes they blame their job or whatever. So the first thing is just cutting through that, and the technical term is bullshit. So it's like cutting through that and just saying, you're the common denominator here. It's your choices. So let's get that out of the way. And that's pretty confronting for people, because they find comfort in being able to let go of that it's their choice. They like saying that it's not my choice. I'm not here by choice, but in actuality it is. You are wherever you are as a result of all the choices you've been making. And that's like, oh, it stings. Oh, it hurts. But at the same time, it's like, oh, okay, well, good. That means that I can start to make, you know, little choices, smaller choices that would have me move in the other direction. And then I would just say that a lot of times we think too big whenever we, and it sounds weird, but whenever we're thinking about a vision of where else we, wherever we'd like to be other than where we are, we're thinking too big, or we get lost in how. We can't see how we can possibly get from here to that big, huge picture in the sky. And, you know, that's a trap. And so I just have a guy's like, look, it's not time to focus on the how. Just what? What do you want? If you weren't afraid, if you weren't worried about this or that, what is it that you want? And a lot of times it's like this atrophied, puny muscle that they just can't figure out what it is they want because they haven't been exercising that. No one's been saying, no, you can't have that. They just don't know. They haven't been asking themselves that. And so I just have them start really small. What shirt do you want to wear today? Like, what shirt do you really want to wear? Like, you want to rock this shirt today? Or which route do you want to drive to work? Just start to, like, recognize you make a ton of decisions every day. Are they kind of in your autopilot mode, or are they something you really want to do? And when we exercise that, no, I'm going to leave 20 minutes early because I really like driving to work this other way. That's where we start to feel more empowered, and we're doing things because we want to, not because we have to.
Exactly. Oh, I love that. So with what's your take then on goal setting? Because I know, like, for me, totally, right when you said it's that big picture, when we're about the how, it's like, I've got this big, lofty, audacious, awesome goal, but it's like, whoa, how do I even get there? Like, what's your take on goal setting and setting up a process to success?
My guess is that in terms of coaches, like I'm not real big on goals. And that sounds really weird because basically the whole coaching industry is about goals. But what I am big on is, like, what would have you set this goal? In other words, what's the purpose of this goal? And we take it a step further. What experience do you want to have as a result of accomplishing this goal? Because a lot of times we set goals, and they may be short-term, like at the end of the day, or they may be a few months, or they may be a few years. But we've lost touch with that inner mechanism that says, this is working for me. This feels good to me. This is helping me feel more alive. This is helping me feel a sense of meaning and purpose. And so to me, the work begins there. Where are you having these experiences on a daily basis instead of waiting until you cross some finish line or grab some flag up on a hill? That's where we tell ourselves, oh, I'll feel that way whenever I'm done, whenever I've completed the goal. So to me, that's just another version of the trap that most of us are in Western society is that, oh, my happiness is at the end of this goal.
Right.
So a lot of the work that I do with guys is uncoaching them out of that and helping them find ways to feel what we want to feel at the end of the goal, actually start to feel that every day. How do we create that every day? But then I think from that place, then it's like, okay, once I get grounded in that, now how do I create from that place? What goals would be in service of those experiences? What goals would be in service of me feeling more connected to my family and to my friends? What goals would have me feeling more passionate, more peaceful, more, you know, whatever? But it's just basically coming back to those experiences and checking in regularly. Well, is this goal still in service of this experience that I want to have? Because if it's not, you got to let it go. It's just another obligation at that point.
Right. Now, I love that. It's more in the moment, though. It's not having such – because I'm a big proponent with you with goal setting. I mean, I have goals, but I think a lot of people fail with that because there's not – they don't have that feeling, that attachment. It's just a list of, oh, I'm going to do this. And it doesn't get done necessarily for some people. So what I think is really interesting when you talk, especially with a lot of your guy clients, you talk a lot about feelings. And typically for women, that's our side of it. And the guys are more the thinkers. So I'm curious if you could explain more or shed light on how that's helped with helping the guys break through. Like, is it getting them in touch with their feelings or is it something different? Like, what's that process?
Well, so a guy will come to me, and I'll just even point it out to him, like, well, what's going on with you? And he'll be like, oh, I feel stuck. I just feel drained. I feel blah. You know, it's like, he's in this, like, what's it like going to work? Oh, I'd rather drive an ice pick through my face. You know, it's like, okay, that's a rough one, too. But they don't realize that they're already feeling. And the problem is like, well, they say, well, what do you want to feel? Well, I want to wake up in the morning and feel fired up. I want to feel alive. Okay, great. What else? I want to be excited about the work that I'm doing in the world. Okay, got it. And so very little is it ever like, I want to make $100,000 this month or whatever. It's usually, I just want to feel excited and I want to feel good. And it's like, okay, so it's not this fluffy, airy-fairy conversation. It's like, that's what you want. You want to feel a
right.
certain way. And the bigger problem, though, is that as guys, a lot of us, because life has been challenging or we've gotten so sick of whatever we've been feeling, is that we basically hit the mute button on our feelings, or we just turn the volume all the way down. So we don't feel anything. We don't even feel the good stuff anymore. We've just been in numbing, numb mode. And so a lot of the work is just getting them to wake up and start to turn the volume back up and pay attention to those feelings, because our minds can come up with a theory about where we think we will feel passionate and where we think we will feel alive and where we'll feel relief. The mind thinks that, oh, if I just do this and I do that and I marry her and, you know, blah, and I lose 30 pounds and I get my hair back, then I'll be great. And
right.
and a lot of times is that we're not actually paying attention to the experiences we have on a day-to-day basis that lead us in that direction. So I'm more about getting into the body and following the experiences, allowing yourself to be surprised at where you feel excited and where you feel fulfillment versus just following that script in your head that says, if I just do X, Y, Z, then I'll feel it. I'll tell this story, and I've told it before, but a guy I know, a friend of mine, is a music producer out in Hollywood, and he has this job that most of us, you know, most people would think is just amazing. He works with rock stars, and he, you know, gets to rub elbows with these amazing people, and he makes music, and it just looks really glamorous. On the outside, it looks amazing, right? And he's miserable,
mm-hmm.
so he's like, man, if I'm not happy with this job that everyone else thinks is amazing, like, I'm not going to go work at Best Buy and feel good. So, he was really worried. It's one thing when you've got a crappy job and you're like, yeah, I'm not happy, so I would be happier doing this. But this guy had the amazing job and he wasn't happy, so he was really worried. And I said, look,
right.
let's just kind of figure out where you do feel more alive and where you do feel good and allow yourself to be surprised. And I said, I just want you to collect data. I want you to just keep a journal throughout the week, and let's just see. Let's just see where the high points are and where the low points are, instead of filtering them through this kind of self-image thing of what you're supposed to feel and how you're supposed to get there. He said, all right. So at the end of the week, we talk, and I said, what was the high point? He said, you know what? I was in Home Depot, and this old lady asked me if I would help her find some light bulbs. And he's like, that was the best part of my week. And it made my day. Like, I felt great the rest of my day. He's like, I was like, wow, you didn't make any money. He's like, no. I was like, you didn't win a Grammy? No. And it was all these things that went against who he thought he was and what he thought was supposed to make him happy. And we used that information like, great, you like helping people. You like one-on-one empowering people. Like, we just kind of extrapolated that and looked for those opportunities in his life instead of thinking, well, you got to make more money and you need more awards. Does that make sense?
Right. No, definitely. I love that. And I think that for a lot of people, I think especially becoming entrepreneurs, it's the struggle of their passion and monetizing that, or just doing what they need to be doing that they think they need to be doing. So I'd love to get your take on, I mean, really just in the past couple of years, it's been, you know, monetize your passion. That's been a big thing that's been going on in the coaching space of how do you do that and actually make a business from it?
I don't know. I don't think. I personally don't think that all passions should be monetized. I think
right.
that, you know, I was a musician, and the closer that we got to the big record label deal, the least fun it became, and frustrating, and the more infighting we had, and that doesn't mean that we wouldn't have gotten through that, but who knows? But I just want to lay
yeah.
out there, what if you took it off the table? What if you took that you – because I think so many people just screw themselves whenever they think they have to, A, find a passion, period, right? And then, two, that
right.
has to be something that makes them money. And I'm like, no. Just find the thing you love to do, and then the rest of your life can be in service of that. Your day job, the people in your lives, your lover, whatever, they can all be in support of you doing that. And there's something
oh, I like that,
that just opens up the door for you just to enjoy your life instead of having to – well, I can't do that, even though I love doing that. I can't monetize that, so that's not on the list. It's like, no, just do it, you know? And
right.
I think, you know, when we're in it and doing it, then you might find a way to – that there's a way to make some money on it. But I think if you go into it and you have this mentality that, A, it has to be something that I'm passionate about, and, B, it's got to make money, I don't I just, man, it's so hard to make that work. And I can't see how you can't be creative in that place. You can't experiment and be willing to just follow the weird, non-linear, you know, pinball bouncing path that it is. It's not going to be a straight shot.
Yeah. Oh, I love that perspective. That's great. I think it's because a lot of people that I've connected with, and you want to monetize your passion, you want to be in this, but it's all compartmentalized. That's not how life is. So I think that's a brilliant perspective. So now I want to chat a little bit too, because you also coach women in your business. So you've got kind of the different aspects that you focus on, but I love this. If you go to Tripp's website, it's really cool because he has just a breakdown of the guys he works with and the women he works with. And one of the things that he says for women is slow down and relax. And I thought I just started laughing out loud when I read that. So I was curious for what are the different personality differences between the men and the women that you coach? Are there similarities or are they completely, totally different?
I think there's a lot of similar. I think there's more similarities than not. I think there's some stylistic things, in terms of how to deal with it. I tend to be more of a challenger in my style, and that can be abrasive to some women that just want to feel supported. Then there's other women that's like, no, all my girlfriends just kiss my ass. I need somebody that'll kick it. And I was like, okay, that's me. I'll do that. So,
right.
But I think there's a lot more there, and I think that what you talked about with women and just slowing down and relaxing, and that's just one of my own personal things. When I get into the room and if I'm hanging out with a woman or anyone really, but it's just so painful. It's like, oh, you've disconnected from yourself. It's just like somebody took the brightness knob and turned her down and, threw carpets over her, and it's like, where's the radiance? You're stressing yourself out and you're trying to do so much. And usually we're trying to do that because we want to be loved and we want to be accepted. Okay. And then, it seems to work the opposite, So
right.
I found that with women, it's been really helpful to just say no, learn how to say no. Learn how to say no without being a bitch, right? That's the fear. I'm going to be a bitch or I'm going to I'm going to push away the people that I love and that kind of thing. And it's just about relaxing and learning how to receive. And I think for guys, too, that's a big thing. That's a whole other conversation. But just learning how to really receive and recover. Our world and our society is so much about pushing and achieving and kicking ass and all that kind of stuff. But we don't have very many ways that we receive and replenish ourselves, rejuvenate ourselves. And so, when we think about when we're in the company of someone, whether it's a man or a woman, how does it feel? How does it feel for us to be there? Does it feel depleting? Do we feel their exhaustion, or do they feel rejuvenated? Do they feel abundant? Do they bring something to the table? Is it a manic, four pots of coffee a day energy, or is it this relaxed, natural, trusting, solid energy? So that's probably a little woo-woo for some people, but that's where I help women kind of tap into. There's different types, and they're really trusting themselves that they can say no, that they can let go, and they'll actually find their real power in there.
Right. That's incredible, because that can be very scary, because I know that's kind of my personality type. Go, 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 and it's letting that, just being comfortable with that and being and relaxed. So I think that's really powerful. I'd love for you just to back up, though, what you were talking about being, receiving, because I think that is a big, big problem, just like you talked about. What do you do with your family and your life to open that up for you?
Play. Laughter. It's really simple. And it takes time. It's not, I'll get around to it. And after I do this or that, it's really recognizing that, it's always going to have this kind of hamster wheel thing. I don't do well with I'm going to get my break way down the road, and until then I'm going to kill myself kind of thing. I just take it as I go. I work a pretty relaxed schedule, and after I talk to you, I'm going to go paddleboard for a while and walk the dog and that kind of stuff. And I don't get to work until 11 in the morning, and I'm done at 5. But to me, it's building it into that I trust that my business can do well, and I trust that I can succeed and provide for my family while also centering it around what's most important to me, which is my time for myself and my own practice and being with my family, the things that feed me. So a lot of us have this idea that that our success is a product of kind of this hard work, you know, like
right.
once we're, or it's actually more that our happiness is a product of the success. Like once I'm successful, then I'll be able to relax and do this and that and that. And I've tried that, and it doesn't work, and it creeps up on me too, and it just sucks because you're always just kind of the next thing, and what's the next thing? It's never enough. And
yep.
what I found though is when we focus on the things that make us happy, it just seems like the more natural opportunities show up. We tend to attract the people that get that more instead of those hard driving, you know, to the grindstone types. And so I'm a much more bigger proponent of that success as a product of what we do that makes us happy.
Oh, I love that. That's great. Now, do you work a lot with couples, or is it just men and women singly that way?
Just individuals. You know, on the phone,
right.
it's really hard to work with two people on the phone. And, so I only work with individuals.
Absolutely. Now, because you work a lot with, obviously, relationships as well, for entrepreneurs, I always think this is always an interesting topic for dating and for just the relationships. What do you see some of the struggles of entrepreneurial relationships through the coaching that you've done?
I would say that it's whether it's entrepreneurs or whomever, but it's just like they don't have a life.
Oh yeah, it's
like, and then you know, there's a difference. Like, there's people that I know that are like, this is what I love. Like, you know, I love the work that I do, and I this is all I kind of want to do, but. You can gauge like, well, you know, things are falling apart too. You know, if you value relationships and you value your health and you value your home and, you know, where you live and that kind of stuff, are you also taking the time to do that? So I don't know if there is such a thing as balance. I think that some of the best stuff comes from people that are pretty imbalanced.
Yeah.
But I think for us it's a matter of integrity. And what I mean by that is, you know, when our actions are in alignment with our values. And so where we go off the rails is when I say, hey, what really matters to you at the end of the day? You know, if you were going to be dead in 6 months, how does life look? And if we're not living in accordance with that realization of what's really most in alignment, then I think we're out of integrity, and I think we feel that tug as we go through the day that it was like, oh, this isn't what I really need to be doing. And I would say that for the entrepreneur out there, the question is, what has you creating your business? Is this more of an expression of you and an expression of your values and, you know, the things that you love to do, which could be, you know, of course, making money and being a part of that? Or is it rooted in this fear and a sense of scarcity and a sense of lack? I'm not good enough, and I'll only be good enough once I'm successful and I have this and that. To me, if you kind of gauge what has us creating, if I find that the guy or the person is creating out of that not enough or that fear – yeah, it's like it's time to hit the brakes and recalibrate.
Right. Oh, wow. Now, just from your experience, you were big into music and you went through a lot of different career transitions. Were you always in this know, or did it take you a while to kind of figure that out and figure those values out that way, or knowing where you're not in alignment with your integrity?
It's just been this weird thing. I think one of the traps that we fall into is that we say this too. It's like, oh, I want to find my passion, or I want to find my purpose. And like somehow there's this thing out there and we can put a sticker on it and it says my passion. This is my purpose. It's a thing. And
right.
Like, I'll be able to do that. Well, I'm pretty young. I'm going to turn 40 here in a couple weeks. But it's like, I'm pretty young and I've had, three, four passions in my life,
yeah.
Like real passions, like this is the only thing that I want to do. And so I think that we're really, really off track when we think that the thing is the passion, but it's really just the experience. We come back to the feeling again. So if we abandon the experience that we have or the reason, you know, the purpose for why we're doing something, then we miss that the check engine light that goes on and says, dude, your passion left a while ago. But why are you still doing this particular thing? And so there are, you know, weird points where it's just like, whoa, man, this thing I used to do, I used to do it and it felt amazing and I felt so grounded and I felt so sure of myself. And now I don't feel that way anymore. And it's very scary, and especially for guys and, you know, kind of more masculine types that are very identified by their work in the world. And so I have gone through periods of like, geez, like if I'm not doing this, who am I? Do I matter?
Right.
Am I worthwhile? And that's another really scary place to go. But that's when we start to realize, wait a second, do I pull my self-worth from what I do in the world, or is it just more of an expression of what I like to do? But, you know, the big trap is don't define yourself by the thing you do necessarily. Just realize that it's this ongoing dance, this ongoing experiment to see where you are more passionate. Is it more this way? Not today. It's more over here. Yeah, that's it. And the next day it's a little more over here and there, and we stay in touch with it that way, and because it's constantly mutating and evolving as we go. And I hate to see guys that get stuck in some place that at 23 they found their passion and that was it, and then they
right.
lost touch with it. But they still tell themselves this is my passion, but they're, you know, dead behind the eyes.
Right. You see that every day, though. That's what's kind of sad about it, though. But I love that how you're, you know, life is mutating. It's a crazy journey, crazy path. But realigning with your passions of where you're at in the moment and feeling that, I think that's so crucial. Because I can definitely identify with having that identity syndrome where it's like I was in real estate for 7 years. I thought that was all my identity, but I was miserable. It wasn't what I wanted anymore. And I still was clinging on to that, like, oh. So I think that's so powerful to be able to recognize that and to move forward with that. So what other tips or advice can you share for entrepreneurs that are just getting started with their businesses today?
Well, first, it's just about what you just said. It's like, you know, this is a great place. If anyone is not familiar with Joseph Campbell's work and the hero's journey, it's fantastic to read that, because a lot of times when we don't hear the call, you know, when the check engine light is on saying, dude, come on, this isn't it anymore. And we're just like, no, it's going to come back. And we do this in relationships, right? It's stinky at home. We're like, oh, no, everything's fine. You know, we're not hearing the call into the next adventure. And so I found Joseph Campbell's work to be fantastic. And just to kind of put it in perspective, that when my clients realize that some guy's dedicated most of his life's work to laying out this path that people go through to evolve, they start to realize that their life isn't – that they're not wrong, that something bad isn't happening, that this is what's natural. And we only screw it up by ignoring the call. So it's usually this huge sense of relief. So if you're out there and you're listening to this and you're thinking, man, I'm not happy anymore and I'm miserable and something's wrong with me, or there's something wrong with my career, it just means that it's time to move on. And that's really scary stuff, because that means we're going to go into the uncertainty. But, yeah, listen, you know, read some of Joseph Campbell's stuff on the hero's journey. It's fantastic. Stephen Pressfield, an amazing writer, and he's done a great blog series on him. Look up Stephen Pressfield, look up Hero's Journey, his thoughts on that. I've found so many people find great relief just realizing, okay, I'm not the only one going through this, and in fact, there's a whole map for this. So I wanted to put that in there.
Oh, that's fantastic advice. Thank you for sharing that, because that's so true. It's because I've been there as well, as I'm sure as many listeners have been, where we're beating ourselves up like, oh, you know, but it's not. It's just the next phase. It's the next step. So outstanding resources. So share with us where we can find out more about you and your company.
So the best place is to just listen to the New Man podcast. There's 100 and I don't know how many episodes at this point, the newmanpodcast.com, and you can also go on iTunes and search for the New Man Podcast. And if you're like me, you're a little lazy and you don't want to have to listen to tons of podcasts, you just want to get right to the nitty-gritty, kind of the best tips and practices from my experience as a coach, thrown in there with a lot of the best takeaways from the podcast, go to thenewmanual.com. and sign up to receive a free video series that you can watch right there on your computer. So, and that's like basically, you know, I think an hour maybe, tops of these videos. And I try to just as concisely and directly as possible give you some of the best stuff that I use in my coaching practices and stuff that I've pulled from the guests that we've had on the show, thenewmanual.com.
Fantastic. Well, and that it's absolutely brilliant. It's so short and to the point, and Tripp does a phenomenal job of getting right to the exact stuff that you want to know about right away. So it's fantastic. Well, Tripp, thank you so much for joining the show. It was awesome having you on board, and I'll let you get on with your day so you can go surf and have some fun.
Thank you, and best to all your listeners as well. I look forward to hearing how this interview impacted them.
Thanks for tuning in. You were just listening to the Trip Lanier interview. So stay tuned also for many more powerful interviews coming down the pike to help you explode your business and lifestyle. And make sure to head over to www.chrisgilbertson.com, that's Chris with a K, to subscribe for free multimedia marketing updates to help you double, triple, or quadruple your email opt-in rate through the power of iTunes and multimedia marketing. So thanks again for listening, and stay tuned for more interviews, and go out and make it a great day.